I'm Daniel Freeman, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Coming up this week, we'll look ahead to the weekend's big Premier League games. We'll hear from ESPN commentator John Champion as the FA Cup's first round gets underway. We'll preview the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, and our racing guru Charlie Owens will look back on the career of one of horse racing's legendary competitors. But first up, we talk about the Premier League, and Manchester United Arsenal is the lunchtime kickoff this weekend. On Saturday, a massive game, remember, 8-2 to Manchester United last year in this fixture, and they did that without Robin Van Persie, who was in the Gunners lineup that day, Kevin Hatchard, and a big game for him, but also for Arsenal in the way that they've been playing recently.
Yeah, huge game for both teams, really. Manchester United looking to maintain their momentum, which they've built up. They got that excellent 3-2 win at Chelsea last week in the Premier League, which got them to within a point of the league leaders, so they'll be keen to maintain that momentum. Robin Van Persie, obviously, has hit the ground running since his move to Old Trafford. I think he's scored 9 goals since moving, which is an extraordinary scoring rate. Arsenal will be keen to prove that they've improved on last season, thrashed 8-2, as you mentioned, and also it's been a sticky spell in the league for them. They started quite well, made quite a solid start, and some people were saying, well, maybe they could be title contenders. But if they lose this one, then I think, even though it's early in the campaign, I think you can effectively rule Arsenal out of the title race.
It's interesting, the whole talk about Arsenal is how they'd replace Robin Van Persie. Of course, they signed Lucas Podolski in the summer, Olivier Giroud, Jovino's come into better form this season, and the other player, Theo Walcott, who's been demanding more in terms of a new contract, that he wants to play more of a central role. It seemed to me in his press conference this week from Arsene Wenger that will happen. He's been impressed with the way that Walcott's been playing recently, particularly if you look at the goals he scored against Reading in midweek.
Yeah, well, Arsenal, as we know, came back from 4-0 down to beat Reading 7-5 in the League Cup, and Walcott was a big part of that. Good pace through the middle, good finishing. He's always been a good finisher. The big question mark about him playing as a striker is his movement, really, whether his movement's intelligent enough, but he's still only relatively young, and he's got time to add that to his game. And I think if Arsenal want to keep him, they're going to have to give him those opportunities. Giroud is starting to warm up after a slow start, but this is a really big game for Arsenal.
West Ham against Manchester City is the evening match, and it's a very interesting one, this, in regard to the fact that West Ham have been pretty good at home this season under Sam Allardyce after promotion from the Championship. And they beat Southampton. They thrashed Southampton 5-1 at Upton Park last time out, but then went and lost 2-1 at Wigan last weekend. Manchester City, well, you just get the feeling that they're just waiting to sort of move into their sort of more operative gear, because at the moment it seems, I don't know, there's something lacking, isn't there, about Manchester City at the moment?
Yeah, they haven't been quite firing on all cylinders for whatever reason. Defensively, they've been quite poor. In their last Premier League game against Swansea, they won 1-0, and had it not been for the brilliance of Joe Hart yet again, they might not have got all 3 points. So that's a worry for Roberto Mancini. That said, they have produced some decent away displays. I think they're the only team to beat Fulham at Craven Cottage this year. So they are capable of going away from home and winning tough games. West Ham have made a great start to the season, especially at home, as you mentioned. This is a big test for them.
And you'll be at the match of as well, Kevin, in another capacity. And it's an evening kickoff under lights at Upton Park. It sounds a bit cliche, but it's sort of thing that you really look forward to, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It'll be a great atmosphere, no question about that. And, you know, the champions are coming to town. This is what West Ham wanted. They went down to the Championship. They wanted to get back in the top flight as quickly as possible so they could play games like these.
Well, Manchester City in action in the evening. Chelsea, a 3 o'clock kickoff for them away at Swansea. Now, Swansea, after a fantastic start, went rather quiet September and most of this month as well, but of late beat Wigan 2-1 in the league a couple of weeks ago, and then won 3-1 at Liverpool on Wednesday night. From what I could see, Swansea looked as if they were taking the competition very seriously and had a first team out and played and scored some good goals as well, the sort of goals where you're making all the movement in the penalty area and you're finding a player with basically a tap in to score. That was certainly their latter two goals. As for Chelsea, it's been an interesting week for them, to say the least. Of course, the 3-2 Manchester United defeat last Sunday and all the controversy. But then hitting back with a 5-4 victory against United in the Cup.
Yeah, it's been, as you say, a week laced with controversy for them. We could be here all day talking about the various inquiries that are going on around various things. But on the pitch, I think that was an important win for Chelsea in midweek, because I think they needed to prove to themselves that they could beat Manchester United. They look very, very good going forward, Chelsea. My worry about them is that without John Terry, they look shambolic at the back. David Luiz is a perpetual accident waiting to happen. And Gary Cahill alongside Luiz doesn't look the same player as he does alongside Terry. But going forward, Chelsea very strong indeed. Swansea have been good this season. But when you look at it, against elite opposition, they haven't got the results. They were beaten 3-0 at home by Everton and they lost 1-0 away to Manchester City.
Well, let's hear from the Chelsea boss, Roberto Di Matteo. He's talking about Chelsea moving in the right direction after that League Cup win against Manchester United and playing good attacking football.
Yes, it was nice to win, and also it just instills a little bit of belief and confidence that we can compete against anybody, and we are a very strong team. We are trying to play differently. I think we are playing very well, and you know, sometimes you make a step back to do two forward.
Well, as Kevin gets all the glitz and glamour of watching the Premier League champions Manchester City at West Ham this weekend, I get two FA Cup matches starting tonight. Cambridge City against MK Dons, and then Bristol Rovers Sheffield United tomorrow. Hoping for maybe a surprise or two in one of those games. Kevin, FA Cup first round weekend. Of course, we all look ahead to the third round draw to see where the big guns are playing. But the first round, you know, the sort of teams that we're going to see at this stage, Hendon, Cambridge City, you know, these teams you just wouldn't see taking the limelight at all.
No, it's always my favourite round of the FA Cup, because you do get some marvellously random ties, and you do get some teams where, you know, a Plumber will score a winner against a League One or League Two side. And it's the kind of weekend that kind of reaffirms your love of football, really. I know the Premier League comes in for a lot of stick, but weekends like the FA Cup's first round just kind of renew your faith in football, really.
Well, some of the matches will be live and exclusive on ESPN, and their commentator John Champion has been speaking to our reporter Lee Peters.
Well, certainly we've had our moments these past two or three seasons in the FA Cup. I suppose the biggest shock that we covered was probably Stevenage, who were then in League Two, beating Newcastle on a memorable day by the side of the A1. But there have been a few others as well. And the joy, really, of covering the FA Cup in these early rounds is that we are privileged visitors, if you like, our cameras and our personnel, at what for many of the clubs is the biggest day in their history. And it's a wonderful feeling of warmth that you get. And from a commentator's point of view, it's great because you get such good access to the teams and the players and the managers and the personnel at the clubs. And you're able to dig out little lines that haven't appeared in newspapers and on websites. So you can be an entirely original with the material that you're presenting. Whereas with the best will in the world, if you're doing Chelsea against Manchester United, it's that much more difficult to get up close and personal to some of those that are involved in the thick of it.
Well, it's the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix in Formula One this weekend, and just 13 points separate Sebastian Vettel, who's leading the world championship, from second place Fernando Alonso. All the talk this week, though, has been about Lewis Hamilton's move to Mercedes at the end of the season. His McLaren teammate at the moment, Jenson Button, says they must adapt and move on.
With Lewis leaving, obviously the team lose a very fast driver, a guy that's achieved a lot with the team, wins and obviously a world championship, last guy to win world championship for the team. So it is a big loss, but it's definitely not the end of two strong drivers at McLaren.
And finally this week, one of the greats of horse racing was officially retired. Let's hear from our racing editor Charlie Owens as he looks back on the glittering career of Quarto Star.
Thanks, Dan, and what a horse Quarto Star was. He was trained by champion trainer Paul Nicholls, he was owned by Clive Smith, and he was ridden the majority of times by Ruby Walsh. In his career, he had 41 outings, and he won 23 of those. Included in those 23 wins were two Tingle Creek chases, two Betfair chases, two Cheltenham Gold Cups, and a record-breaking 5 wins in the King George's 6th Chase at Kempton on Boxing Day. And I reckon it's for his 5th win in the King George's 6th Chase last Boxing Day that he'll be best remembered. Let's hear the last furlong of that race just to remind us what an incredible crowd pleaser Corto actually was.
Corto Star turns into the straight out in front. One more fence between him and glory. Can he do it? Long Run and Sam Whaley Cohen are rallying, but I think he's done it. Long Run's trying his heart out, but the scarves are going all over the place. He's done it. Wonderful, magical. Corto Star has won the King George for the 5th time. I don't believe it. Quite extraordinary at 11 years of age.
So a fond farewell to Corto Star. But racing moves on, and there's some great offerings this weekend. We'll start with Weatherby, which stages the Charlie Hall Chase. The favourite for this is very likely to be another Paul Nicholls runner. This time it's called Silviniaco Conti. Now, he'll very likely go off favourite. He was a very highly rated hurdler who took a bit of time mastering the art of jumping fences. But we got an idea of just how good he could be when he won a Grade 2 novice chase at the Grand National meeting back in April. This will be his first outing since that win, but Paul Nicholls holds him in very high regard. He looks the one. Later in the day, the attention switches to America, who staged the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita. Now, the British and Irish trainers are sending over some decent sorts to compete in this meeting. Including amongst them are the likes of St. Nicholas Abbey. He won the Breeders' Cup Turf last year. He's trained by Aidan O'Brien. He's had a reasonable season this time round, and he's going back for another crack at the very same race. He should give a good account of himself. Also from the Aidan O'Brien yard is a horse called Accelebration. He's going to run in the feature race, the Breeders' Cup Mile. Now, Accelebration has won 3 of his 5 races this season, including last time out at Ascot. That was in the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes. However, it's well worth forgiving Accelebration's only 2 defeats this season. They came at the hands of Frankel, and on both occasions he finished in 2nd place. No disgrace there. He's almost certain to go off favourite for the race, and I think it would be fantastic for British racing and a massive endorsement of for the form of Frankel if Accelebration were to put this field to the sword.
Well, that's it for this weekend, where we've looked ahead to the big Premier League matches, including Manchester United against Arsenal, and of course the FA Cup first round proper, the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, and Charlie there looking back at the career of Corto Star. That's your lot for this week. Thanks for your time.